Das Radio Regenbogen Star Interview.
Bittersweet Love, so heißt das neue Album von James Arthur, kommt im Januar 24 und bis dahin könnt ihr euch über diese Nummer hier freuen. Blindside. Hey, ich bin Marlene Vogel und ich habe mit James über genau diesen Song gesprochen. Wer sein Leben komplett auf den Kopf gestellt hat und welche Geschichte hinter seiner Glückszahl steckt, das hört ihr, wenn ihr dranbleibt.
James, so good to have you.
Thanks for having me.
Blindside is out and I was like listening to the track, first line, summer ends and autumn starts, all fading into one. How timely. Kudos.
I know, I got lucky with that one. It's great to see it starting to connect in Germany at this particular time. I kind of thought it might end up being just a summer song, but thankfully it's kept going, so that's good.
Transitioning into fall, is that a yay or a nay for you?
Yeah, that's a yay. As long as it's working, I'm happy.
I feel like your songs tend to be this container to process pain and heartbreak, etc. What's different with Blindside? Because I feel like it sounds a little different. What's your take on that?
Yeah, it's definitely it's a different sound for sure. It's more up tempo and it's very energetic. It feels good and happy, I think. But obviously, the lyrical content is heartbreak essentially. It feels hopeful too. It's kind of like, what, you know, why do we love the ones we lose? And I've got to settle to look for loving the ghost of you. So it's accepting that you have to move on and complimenting that person, you know, saying that you're like, your love just really blindsided me and took me and got me out of nowhere. So there's a lot of different emotions within the song. And I think if you pair that with the frenetic nature of it should move people, hopefully.
You just said it got a hopeful tone for you, and I also like read in the lyrics, right place at the wrong time. Like, that's a bit of a messed up timing thing, right? Have you ever felt like that has happened to you in regards to other opportunities in your life?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I feel like that's been the story of my life. It's like anytime anything good's happening, it's the wrong time in some other capacity. Like, you know, we were talking earlier about how I won the best newcomer in Germany at the Radio Ragenbogen Awards, something like 10 years ago now. And now when I think back to that, I think, man, that was such a big deal. And that was such an amazing thing to happen. But I wasn't even present enough to appreciate that. And so the best things that have happened in my career so far, I wasn't even mentally capable of absorbing them and really living them. So it feels like that's been the story of my life in terms of like whenever anything good's happening, I've not necessarily being in the best place. So I'm hoping something good happens now because I'm in a good place. So yeah, and I'm finally in a calm space mentally. So yeah, definitely. In answer to your question, that kind of thing is something I really relate to.
I'm glad you're feeling better. There's also the lyric, just like a bolt from the blue. And I was wondering, did you ever get hit like a bolt from the blue, but in like a positive way?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've been very lucky. I've had a lot of cool things happen to me and like, you know, love, you know, I've had love in my life and unexpected times and it's been the right time. But I can't think of a particular story for you, but yeah, for sure.
It's all right. Maybe we can talk about your new record, Bittersweet Love, which is going to be out next year in January. And A Year Ago is another song that's on the record that you already released. And to what extent have like A Year Ago and Blindside set the tone for the whole record?
Well, I think that those two songs are like the polar opposites of the album. So the album to me is kind of in two parts. You have half of the record, which is like A Year Ago, the classic not to refer to myself as a third person, but the classic James Arthur sound, I guess, but maybe it's elevated and evolved and much more mature, and stripped back, acoustic, organic, all those things, full of emotion. And then the other half of the record is more rock. And I think Blindside is the most pop of those kind of rock songs, but the other half of the album is a bit more like rock and roll, yeah.
All right, let's get excited for this one. I also watched the music videos, and I noticed that in Blindside and in A Year Ago, you like to drive in a car.
Yeah.
Is that something that you enjoy in private as well?
I do. I love driving. I love driving old cars, particularly like Cadillacs and Mustangs and things like that. Yeah, for sure.
Do you have your own, or do you need to go?
I do. I have a Mustang. I have a Mustang back home, yeah.
Nice. And
a couple other cool cars that I like to mess around in.
Can you also race in those old cars, or is it more like a leisurely drive then?
Yeah, well, I have a house in the country, kind of just on the outskirts of London, so you can stick it in third and fuck around in one of those. Yeah, so that's good.
I noticed that, looking back a few years, that you did collaborations with DJs and producers as well, right? Like Lost Frequencies and Afrojack and Alok, to name a few. Like, what does it mean for you to work with different genres and styles?
I think it's fun. It's cool. To be honest, I enjoy lending my voice to different genres. I don't like to be pigeonholed into one thing. I think if you're a vocalist, you enjoy just singing on good songs. And I think I've been quite sort of selective about which songs I feature on. And I'm really happy with the collaborations that I've done. I hope to do many more.
Could you imagine having something like that on like a James Arthur record as well? Or would that go too far out of there?
I don't think I would, unless I was to do an entire dance house record. I don't think you'd ever find, I mean, maybe you would, I'd never say never, but I haven't so far included any kind of dance tracks on my own albums. I like to keep that separate. I think the James Arthur brand is not necessarily, you know, like a dance singer, I guess, you know.
I hear you.
It's a side mission.
Yeah. Working with these other artists, do you have a favorite memory of the process with them?
Yeah, I've loved all of the collaborations that I've done, but the most involved I've been was with Rudimental, and that meant a lot to me because it was my first big dance feature. And in the UK especially, Rudimental are so important in the culture, and they only work with singers that they really respect, and they work with great singers. And so at that point in my career, I was really honored. It was a huge compliment for me to be asked to be a part of that, so I'll always remember that because it was kind of the first big collab that I did as a signed artist, so I'd say that one.
Yeah, I hear you. And that can be like a huge chance for many artists probably as well, right? To get introduced to a different audience as well.
Yeah, yeah. Totally, yeah, absolutely.
Now, you already mentioned that stuff happened in your life that you couldn't mentally process at that time. Mm. Like, it's been more than 10 years now since you won X Factor, since Impossible came out, your huge hit. Like, looking back now, what's the most important thing that you got to learn for you?
Well, I mean, you know, it's been 10 years, as you said, and so I've got a lot of experience now. I've been around the business and the game for a long time, and I think experience is invaluable. I'm very different as a person to who I was when I won the X Factor. I mean, like anyone, you mature and you get better at your craft. It's been crazy because I've like been honing my craft in the spotlight, in the public eye, and getting used to being in the spotlight. Whilst on the job, it was, you know, never something I expected or something I ever really even wanted. I just always wanted to be recognized for the music. So, yeah, I guess the thing I've learned is to to trust your instincts, and that's been the main one, is to just stay real, stay authentic.
Trust your intuition. Yeah, I hear you. Now, you said you're a new person now, or you changed a lot. Like, how would you describe yourself now?
Much more calm, I think. Much more calm. I used to get very wound up. You know, I used to get very stressed and anxious about things that I couldn't control. And so, yeah, I'm just I'm much more present now, I think. I'm much more in the room. If you'd have interviewed me back then, my ADHD would have been in full flow, I think.
Do you have any things that you do to keep yourself calm? Like,
I just have a good relationship with myself now, I think. My internal dialogue has changed. The language that I use, I monitor the things that I'm saying to myself. I'm a bit more kind to myself. You know, everyone says you got to love yourself and all that thing. I've never been good at that. Mm-hmm. So I think I have a healthy relationship now. I don't walk around saying you're awesome to myself or anything like that, but I don't call myself a cunt as much as I used to, so that's good.
That is good. Yeah. I know, I sometimes find it hard. Yeah, just being compassionate with yourself can be so hard as well, right? Now, looking back, what are you most proud of that you have achieved so far?
In my career or in life?
Both.
Becoming a father is the proudest thing I've ever done. My daughter, then nothing will ever beat that. But in my career, I think managing to come back from effectively being dead in the water in professional terms. I lost my record deal. My career was over. And I managed to make a comeback, the most unlikely comeback imaginable. And so that would be my greatest achievement, because I could have given up, and I fought, and I believed in myself, and I proved that I could do it. So that's probably the best thing ever. Yeah,
you did it, and you're here now, and we're all happy that you are. You just mentioned your daughter. Does having her in your life change how you view the world and like all the challenges that we have to face as a society and as humankind?
Yeah, it does. You know what it does? It gives you a bit of an ego death. You know, you become the second, at least second or third most important person in your life. And so that was good for me, because my life has always been about me surviving and achieving and striving for my own personal goals. And when those kind of things don't work out, you feel like there's no point. I've felt like there's no point to my life sometimes at certain points. And like, I've felt like, you know, life isn't really necessarily for me, you know, and that's unhealthy. You know, that's not a good way to live your life, to be totally validated by what you do in your work. And so having a daughter, just, you know, it gives you it changes your perspective completely. And I just think, like, as long as she's okay, then nothing else really matters. And you look at everyone differently. You look at humans differently. You look, everyone's all of a sudden, you're someone's daughter, and he's someone's son, and that gives you a bit more of a level of compassion and empathy for people.
Yeah, everyone has their story, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone has their devils that they're fighting, probably.
Absolutely, yeah.
Inside. Like, what's your hope for the future?
I still have goals. I love, you know, one of them is genuinely to have new music played on the radio and be have people hear my music and hear my voice regularly. I would love to continue to make music for the world that helps people and connects with as many people as possible. That's a little bit of a Miss World answer for you, but it's true. Yeah, the thing that gives me the ultimate sense of achievement is to know that I have songs out there that are connecting with lots of people.
I'm sure you will, and you're doing already.
Thanks.
I noticed on your knuckle you got the 23 tattooed.
Yeah.
And it seems to follow you everywhere, if I notice correctly. Like, what does it mean to you?
The number 23, it's a lucky number for me. ever since I was younger, I've just resonated with those two numbers, 2 and 3, in some kind of combination. But I actually thought 23 when I was younger would be, could have been a negative thing, like I was going to die at the age of 23 or something something negative. Yeah. But I made it past the age of 23. And actually, my dreams came true when I was 23. But yeah, I had a lot of luck with that number. It's I see it everywhere. I lost a job when I was about, I think I was about 18, 19. And I only had £40 to my name. And so I went into a bookmaker's, into a gambling place. And I was so dejected with life. And I was like, I'm fucking over it. Like, I don't care whether I win or lose. I'm just going to put this £40 on the number 23 on this roulette machine. And the odds are obviously so slim. There's mm-hmm. no way, you know, it's almost impossible that you would win. And I put it on the 23 and I walked away from the machine. And then I heard like the machine going ding ding ding, whatever, you've won. And I won, like, it was like £500, which was so much money to me at that time. And I was able to go home and feed my mom and look after all my family and stuff. And that happened to me a few times. That number was like won for me in a few different ways, like in like poker games and stuff, you know. So anyway, long story, but it's very lucky for me. Yeah,
it's a good story. So has the year 2023 been a special one for you?
It's been a good year so far. I hope there's still something amazing to happen this year. I've got a feeling something really incredible is going to happen this year. I don't know what it is yet, but maybe that's why this number has been so profound for me. Is maybe this is the year that everything falls into place.
Maybe, yeah. No, I hear you. I got a 33 tattooed here. It faded like hell, but it is here. Yeah, that's my guidance. Yeah. Are you superstitious in any way?
Well, I must be to think that this number has some kind of relevance to me. I'm aware that a lot of people think that number is lucky to them. But yeah, I think I am superstitious. I think I am, yeah.
And I also noticed that you got 2.3 million Instagram followers right now.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. I mean, it's definitely...
So I think...
2.3 in the year 2023. Something big's happening.
Something big is happening.
Hopefully it's not when I die.
Oh my gosh,
touch
no,
wood.
It's not going to be. But we're so excited to get to see what it is. And I thank you so much for your time. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Take care.
You too.